I'm Mercedes.
And I'm Tash.
And you're listening to episode 263 of Chat Disney. So welcome, welcome, welcome to another episode of the Chat Disney podcast. And in today's episode, we're talking all things Disney duos, but you will not find Timon and Pumbaa, Chip and Dale, or Mickey and Pals in today's episode, because the Disney duo in question is myself and Tash. That's right. We are going to be testing each other's knowledge and seeing how well we truly know one another Disney style. So this should be a lot of fun for all of you at home and for us too. But before we head into all of that, let's have a quick look at what's been happening in the world of Disney this week. So first of all, kicking things off with the park closest to home, Disneyland Paris, and I'm very excited as a Disney fan and a little bit of a foodie. This one definitely appeals to me, and there is a brand new Loungefly collection that's hit Disneyland Paris. You'll find ears, spirit jerseys, rucksacks, and the theme of this new collection, it is pizza. That's right, Mickey pepperonis on a pizza. It's very, very similar to the Loungefly Mickey ice cream bar or pretzel collections that they've done in the past, but with everyone's favourite pizza. I love it. Can see lots of people buying this one. And we've also had some more details from Disneyland Paris regarding the reserved viewing areas that are launching on March 28th, just this week. So we spoke about this in depth last week in Mad Chatter and our views on the whole thing. Regardless of what you think, we do have some updates for you. So as confirmed, it's €19 per person to have a reserved viewing spot. And we already knew that the reserved viewing spots were going to be for the Disney Electrical Sky Parade and Disney Dreams. And the area is going to be by the Frontierland gates, which means that you will be viewing front and center, which is awesome and what you would expect at that price. But what we didn't know, and we have had confirmed now, is that you will be able to also reserve a spot for the parade, Disney Stars on Parade. So that is confirmed. This is not just fireworks. This is parade as well. And the viewing spot for Disney Stars on Parade is by the entrance and viewing area at Fantasyland Towers, which, if anyone knows me or has been to Disneyland Paris when I have, they will know that I am not very happy about this. I watched the parade at Fantasyland Towers. I'm hoping that this means there will still be a good location at the towers to watch the parade, because it's my favorite place. It's the beginning of the parade, which means that the performer's energy is up. It doesn't actually get too crowded around there either. I don't know. Really random spot as well. I thought that the parade spot would be in front of the castle. So you've got that lovely castle backdrop behind you. But there we are. More information.
Yeah, it was something I hadn't even considered when we spoke about it. Was it last week about location and where it would be and how that would affect other people that have those favourite spots for watching the parades? But just to add to my list of issues with this thing, we'll put that one on there as well. And heading over to Disneyland for some news today as well. And Pixar Fest is coming to Disneyland. And it's starting at the end of April, April the 26th, through to August the 4th, which I'm gutted about because it means I'm just going to miss out on it, which is a real, real shame. But you can expect to see brand new characters, parades, and a special nighttime spectacular. The new parade at California Adventure, Better Together, a Pixar Pal celebration, will be performed twice per day inside the park. And there's going to be over 24 characters throughout the parade, which is really exciting. Some rare characters that we don't normally see, like Red Panda May, and Joe Gardner from Soul, even some characters from Luca. I know I'm not a massive fan of these movies, but it's really nice to see some of these underrepresented characters getting their faces and their characters into the park. There's also going to be a nighttime spectacular, which will be shown over Disneyland on Aurora's castle each night. And this will have all new scenes. And again, that includes some scenes from some of the later films like Luca and Elemental and Turning Red. So really, really exciting. Sticking with Disneyland, a select group of Disney California Adventure Park guests were treated to a very special appearance the other day by none other than actor Patrick Warburton himself. Now, who is Patrick Warburton, you may cry, and what does he have to do with Disney? Well, if you are a regular parkgoer, you may know that he is the voiceover for the flight attendant on Soaring Over California. And it has been Soaring Over California for a little while now as a special edition during Food and Wine Month or Food and Wines Festival. So he was there and he basically did what he normally does as the voiceover. He was the in-flight attendant. He gave all the safety instructions and told everyone what to do. So really, really nice little touch from Disney there. And finally, we know the world goes crazy for a popcorn bucket, and the latest one has hit Disney and is now available in Mickey's Toontown, and it is Chubby the Orange Bird from Mickey's Runaway Railway Adventure. I still always get tongue-tied when I try to say that. So he is now available. He's expected to obviously fly, pardon the pun, off the shelves as these popcorn buckets always do.
Love that. And not to be confused, of course, with the Dole Whip Orange Bird and Kronk himself in Soaring. That is all very exciting, Tash. I'm loving it. I have got a little bit of different news this week, and it's some Disney cruise news, which we don't talk about an awful lot on the Chat Disney podcast, but this is really exciting. So a brand new cruise ship is debuting. This one, Tash, can you guess what it's called? We've got Magic, we've got Wish, we've got Treasure, we've got Wonder. Any ideas?
Disney Destiny, isn't it, or something?
Oh, you already know. Okay, yeah, it's Disney Destiny. There we go. There aren't that many words, right, in the kind of Disney lexicon that would fit. But yeah, Disney Destiny is the name of this new ship, and it's the sister to the Disney Wish and the Disney Treasure. But it is going to have the first of its kind design theme, which is very, very exciting. A little bit different from what we normally see on the Disney cruise lines, because this one is all about heroes and villains. It's going to be drawing on the legacies of beloved Disney stories, characters, and also theme park attractions, which is really exciting. And on the official graphic, you can see characters like Hercules, Hades, Simba, Scar, and also Cruella de Vil. So a little bit different from kind of Mickey and Pals at Sea, a little bit different from like the Cinderella aesthetic that we see on some of the cruise liners. Completely different direction for the Disney cruise line, and I think it's really exciting.
Absolutely. And really excitingly, we have some D23 news this week, which is something that doesn't always come up. But pricing has this week been released for this year's D23 Expo, which is taking place in Anaheim at the Anaheim Convention Center at the beginning of August. Now, there's special tiers in terms of tickets. So if you are a D23 member and you are planning on going to the event, definitely have a look and see what is on offer to you. And there are going to be a number of special events happening around the time in Anaheim as well. So there's going to be a big Disneyland party for members. They're doing a 20th anniversary screening of The Incredibles. Can't believe The Incredibles is 20 years old. And they're doing a special Anaheim Packing District night where they're inviting all D23 goers to go and sample some delicious cuisines. There's going to be special DJ sets. There's going to be like a Disney sketch thing going on. Lots and lots going on. They did also announce who is going to be named a D23 legend this year, and there were quite a few names up there. Some who I was quite surprised hadn't already been considered Disney or D23 legends before. So we've got people like Joe Rohde, famous for Animal Kingdom and his work there. We also have James Cameron, obviously connected to Disney through Avatar, and Miley Cyrus, Hannah Montana herself, which I thought was really nice. I was really happy to see Miley up there.
I completely agree. I'm a big Hannah Montana fan. So I'm definitely here for that. And I've got a little bit of Marvel and Star Wars news to wrap us up today. So we've got a brand new trailer for Marvel 1943, The Rise of Hydra. And I'll be honest, I've been a little bit fatigued by all of the Marvel content that's come out recently. I think since Avengers Endgame, we've all got a little bit of Marvel fatigue, but I'm actually really, really excited about this. This is, of course, going to be about the origin story of Hydra, which is kind of often parallel to the Nazis in Nazi Germany during World War II. And it's set in 1943. We can see Captain America in the poster. So the fact that they're kind of going back to revisit old territory makes me incredibly optimistic, because I think that at the moment, as I say, since Endgame finished, there's like all these new stories that we're not that invested in and all these new characters. So I think it's a very smart move of Marvel to do a kind of prequel, if you will, that still goes back to the original MCU. Like, you'll be able to slot this into the old timeline before Endgame, which I think is really, really clever. And some Star Wars news as well. And again, similarly to Marvel, I think we've all got Star Wars fatigue at the moment. There are so many Disney Plus series to try and navigate and get our heads around, and I'm definitely behind. I'm definitely not up to date. And just to add to that complexity, there's now another new Disney Plus Star Wars series, and this one is The Acolyte. I hope I'm saying that correctly. It's basically a Jedi murder mystery series, which kind of leads to dark forces. So I like the idea that it's more of like a murder mystery that's set in the world of Star Wars. But, you know, the last thing I watched was the Obi-Wan series with Ewan McGregor, which I really enjoyed it. I thought it was great. But again, that's very much part of the Skywalker saga, which I'm fully invested in, whereas some of this new Star Wars material, it's a bit like the Marvel stuff, you know, new worlds, new characters. It's a lot to get on board with. So if you, like me, have Marvel and Star Wars fatigue, you're not alone. I think there's a lot of us out there. And then there's people like Tash who have never even watched, you know, Black Panther, for example. Actually, I think you might have watched that.
I have watched Black Panther, but I was in the minority of people that didn't really go for it.
There we go. There we go. And that is pretty much everything that's been happening in the world of Disney before. Just as I proved there, where I realised that Tash had watched Black Panther, we're going to be talking about how well we know each other in today's episode, which will begin now.
This month is quite a momentous milestone for the Chat Disney podcast, because at the end of the month we will be turning 5 years old, which absolutely blows my mind that we have been doing this for 5 years. We have never missed an episode, we've never repeated an episode, and quite frankly I don't know how we have been doing it for so long and being able to come up with fresh content all the time.
Yeah, 5 years is definitely a milestone. If we were a Disney park, we'd be, you know, dining out on that. There'd be jester hats on our castle and lots of limited edition merchandise. And the 5 years that we've had have been really significant for the podcast, but also our friendship. There's been weddings, there's been babies, there's been all kinds of different things, new pets, for example. So yeah, really exciting time for us. And a big, big thank you to all of our lovely listeners, co-hosts, guests of the show, fans of the show, friends of the show, for sticking with us for 5 long and wonderful years.
Yes, well said, Mercedes. Thank you very much indeed. So we thought, as 5 years is quite a big thing, and some of you have been with us right from the very beginning, you've been listening to us all this time, but we're wondering how well you really know the real us. And in fact, how well do we really know each other? I mean, 20 plus years of friendship, I hope that we know each other quite well, but who knows? So we thought today that we would put our friendship to the test, as it were, and we would quiz each other to see how well we really know each other.
I think that sounds like a perfect idea, and I'm very excited to get this started. And I think I know you pretty well, I'm fairly sure, but there's certain things, you know, we talk about everything. We obviously record this podcast every week, but we text each other pretty much every single day. And believe it or not, we do actually see each other outside of this podcast as well. So there's lots of things we know about each other, but then I feel like there are some really basic things that I actually have no idea. Like, for example, I have no idea if you're currently watching a series on Disney Plus or if you're watching anything on Disney Plus. I honestly couldn't tell you. So I'm going to have a guess. Well, actually, that's not true. I do know that you just introduced your son to your favorite Disney movie properly, because I'm sure you've had it on in the background or whatever since he's been born. The Little Mermaid, the original Little Mermaid, the animated one from the 80s. So I know that. But we didn't really talk about how he received it. So did he enjoy your favorite Disney film?
He did. I mean, he knows Ariel anyway. He's a big fan of Ariel, obviously, because of me. I've gifted my Ariel Barbie, which I had when I was younger, to him. And he knows all the songs whenever we get into the car. He always asks to listen to Ariel, which is part of your world. Mm-hmm. So he did. I mean, he's at that age where he hasn't got the attention span for a film. So he probably... I would say he probably sat through about 25 minutes and then I sort of skipped bits. So I skipped to like Under the Sea because I knew he'd like that bit, and I let him watch the songs. But then after a while, he did just keep asking for Madrigal, which is Encanto, because that is his absolute favourite. So he's definitely more of a modern boy when it comes to Disney. He loves Frozen. He loves Encanto. Again, both of those are not movies that he sat the whole way through, but he knows them very well. Like, we've watched the start of Encanto countless times and he's always asking to watch Bruno or Mirabelle. So yeah, he liked it, but he wasn't completely captivated by it. I think, yeah, the Renaissance, I think, is going to be up his street, but I think it's going to take us a little while to get there. So I was watching something, a series, a little while ago, which I loved it at first. I was hooked. And then I sort of fell out of love with it a little bit. I think I got onto season 3 or 4 and then stopped watching it for a bit. And we did discuss it. And I wonder if you can remember what it is. Yeah.
Oh, Disney Plus.
Yeah.
Have I watched it?
Yeah.
And
I talking about it on this podcast.
Was I shocked that you fell out with it?
No, I think the season that I was on at the time, I think you kind of agreed that it was a bit slow.
This Is Us?
No.
I agreed that the season was slow. And it's on Disney Plus?
Yeah.
I don't know if I watched that many series on Disney Plus, to
definitely.
Be honest.
I hope it was you that it was definitely you I had this conversation with.
And I was like, yeah, that season's a bit slow, stick with it.
Yeah.
I've got no idea. What was it?
And you were like, oh yeah, the ending of that season is good.
Ending of the season is good. Is it American?
Yeah.
I've got no idea.
Only Murders in the Building.
There's only 3 seasons of that.
Okay, well.
season 3. Yeah. Well, there we go. That shows what a stickler I am for detail. Yeah, we did talk about Only Murders in the Building. Season 2 is a little bit slow at the beginning, but the ending is, yeah, it's worth it 100%. And you didn't get past it after we had that chat.
No, so I got to the end of season 2 and then I started season 3 and then just other things happened and I've never continued it. But I will at some point, but it's just... it's not on like the forefront of my watch list at the moment.
Yeah, season 3, I didn't enjoy that much. I think season 1 is obviously the strongest and I did thoroughly enjoy season 2. And I stand by what a former me said in a past life about the payoff of season 2 is kind of what's worth it. But season 3, it's got Meryl Streep, it's got Paul Rudd, it's got some big names, sort of heavy hitters, but it's probably my least favourite of the 3 seasons. But if you haven't checked out Only Murders in the Building, definitely go and check it out because it is a fantastic black comedy that I absolutely adore, and I recommend everyone go watch.
Yeah, the first season alone, like even if you don't get past that, the first season is incredible. I absolutely loved it. So again, same to you. I don't know if you're watching any series or anything on Disney Plus at the moment. I'm trying to think what there is at the moment, but I know that you are on a classics journey with your son.
Yes.
Now, I don't know the last... we spoke about this. I know that you definitely got up to the 80s and you got to the Renaissance and you showed him The Little Mermaid. I think you showed him Pocahontas.
I have.
And then I don't know where you're up to now.
So I started doing this as soon as he could really look at the television. So from a very, very early age. And then what I used to do was like, if he fell asleep during the movie, which was always, I'd carry on watching it. But now that he's a little bit more aware of like what's going on and like actually watches television, I'm trying to like, once he's losing interest or whatever, I'm actually pausing the movie or like if he falls asleep, I'm like, well, he's asleep, there's no point. So I'm pausing the movie, which means that we've stalled quite a lot and it's taking quite a lot of time now. But we are currently halfway through Hercules. So we've done Hunchback and we're halfway through Hercules. Favourite so far, Winnie the Pooh and Little Mermaid, which is not surprising because my son loves bright, vivid colours. And I think that the age that he was when we started to hit those ones, he was just a little bit more receptive. He loves music as well. You know, like most babies, he's very, very driven by music. He naps to music. Like literally there's a song that if I play the music, he knows that that's his like cue for bedtime. So he's got quite a good musical ear for a baby, and he loved Part of Your World. So that was lovely. And that's one of the things I sing to him now, actually, when I'm trying to get him to go to sleep. Other than that, we've got Dory's Reef Cam on a lot at the moment.
Yeah. I came over to your house.
It was. So if you are somebody who has a young baby and you're bored to death of the Dancing Fruits, this is another really good hack. So it's not on the children's account for some reason, but on the adults Disney Plus account, you can search for something called Dory's Reef Cam. And it's basically like 3.5-4 hours worth of uninterrupted footage, fake footage, obviously, because it's animated, but it's meant to be like a hidden camera at the bottom of the ocean. And it's filming the reef where Marlin and Nemo live. So you'll see like Nemo swim past and a whale swim past and a dory swim past. And I actually have a confession. I'm a terrible mother. I this morning had a million and one jobs to do. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to put him, my son, in the bouncer to watch Dory's Reef Cam. And I had a shower. I made some phone calls that I needed to make. I did some washing. I washed all the bottles. I prepped some breakfast for him and I. So I wasn't being a bad mum. I was doing jobs that I needed to do. But I didn't realise how long I'd left him in front of it. And I went back in and paused it. And he'd watched 40 minutes of Dory's Reef Cam. But honestly, he was so happy. I think I could leave him there for the full 4 hours and he'd be so happy. So if you need something calm and soothing for your baby, and they've got a good attention span, then I definitely recommend Dory's Reef Cam. I'm also rewatching Modern Family at the moment just because I've run out of TV shows and, you know, it's an old favourite. And I tried to watch that Oscar film. Is it Poor Things that Emma Stone won the Oscar for?
Yeah, I really wanted to watch that.
I started it, watched 10 minutes of it and turned it off because it is weird.
Yeah, it looks really weird from the trailer. Like, I read about it and was like, oh, that sounds like bizarre, but it sounds good. But then having seen the trailer, it does look very bizarre. And I don't know if it's the sort of thing. Like, for me, it's one of those films that I should have seen. I mean, I'm not that fussed about it now, but if I hadn't, like, if I don't see a film at the cinema, then there's no point me watching it at home because I know that I will lose interest. And I feel like that may be one of those films for me.
Yeah, I mean, it didn't win Best Picture at the Oscars. She won Best Actress. So Oppenheimer won, which I did go see at the cinema and thought was very, very good. Obviously preferred Barbie, but that's just me. I was trying to watch it with my husband and he hates like arts movies and it was very clear from like the opening scenes that it's like an art movie, so maybe I wasn't watching it with the right person and I need to give it another go when I'm by myself. But anyway, that's me and Disney Plus at the moment. You probably could have guessed all of that.
I mean, yeah, I could have predicted literally all of those things. Yeah, Modern Family is another one that I've always like I'm dipping back into because it's just such easy, nice watching. Yeah, well, there we go. We learned a little bit about each other there, I feel, and then we also got some things right. So I think that's a point to each of us. So in the vein of, you know, talking about what we're watching and things, this is a really simple one. And I don't necessarily think it's the same as what I think we know, you know, obviously we know what each of us favorite Disney characters are and what our favorite films are. But I don't know if we necessarily know what we would say our most watched Disney movie is. So Mercedes, what do you think is my most watched Disney film? And I don't think it is the same as my favorite film.
Does it have to be a Disney classic?
Yeah, I mean, I was going with Disney classic, but I'm intrigued to see what you think if it's not a Disney classic.
Okay, I'll go for Disney classic, and then I think the other thing that I was thinking of I'll have as mine because I think it's probably the same. Your most watched Disney classic, is this pre or post Theo?
pre-Theo.
Okay, so it's not Encanto or Frozen. Okay. What Disney film do I think you used to... Do you know, interestingly, maybe I'm spoiling something here for you when the question is reversed, but I actually don't watch Disney films that much, which I guess is not that surprising because my husband hates them.
Yeah, I don't really anymore. I used to when I was at like... I used to be the sort of person, I'm not anymore, but I would always have the TV on for background noise, and I always used to have Disney films on then because they're so comforting. It's not something I really do anymore. That was more like in the days of when I lived at home and had a TV in my room, or when I was at uni, that sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, gosh, what do I think?
Maybe this question's a bit broad. Maybe we should narrow it to what was the most watched Disney movie as a child.
Okay, as a child. Is it the same as an adult? It's going to be a Renaissance movie, I think. I don't know, because you used to talk about your glass slippers with your lisp a lot when you were younger, but I think it's probably a Renaissance movie. I don't know. I'm going to go for three guesses. I'm going to put Cinderella in there because of the glass slippers. I am going to go Beauty and the Beast or Lion King as my other two.
I would say Beauty and the Beast and Cinderella were probably on a par.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, Cinderella, obviously. I used to always dress up as Cinderella. I had my glass slippers with the lisp. And then Beauty and the Beast, like, I feel like sometimes when you think back to your childhood, you remember things in a very different way to how they actually played out. So a memory that I have, which if I ask my mum, which I probably should, because this is something I always think, is she would probably have a very different answer. But in my mind, I used to finish nursery when I was younger and come home and watch Beauty and the Beast every single day. I probably watched it like twice as a child, like when I came home from nursery. But in my head, I watched it every day.
Probably did watch it every day. Like, I have a 3-year-old niece. You have nieces that have been three or are three.
And yeah, that's true.
They do watch the same movie. I remember I went through a period of time where every night before bed, I used to watch Grease when I was like 10.
Of all films.
Okay, so I'm going to give you two questions here. Then first, we'll start with when I was a child. I think for me, there was one Disney movie that I had on repeat when I was a little girl. And I think it's maybe a bit rogue. I don't think it is rogue, but it's not my favorite.
Gonna go, because we've spoken about it in regards to childhood quite a lot, I'm gonna go with Pocahontas.
Yes, that's amazing. Yeah, so there's a video, I don't know if you've ever seen it, I need to dig it out, where I was in reception, so I was four, and it was my first sports day. And basically, it's after my first sports day. And like, I'm one of those people, when I was a little girl, if I'd been like sweaty, I'd get like ringlets, like where my sideburns are. And you can see my mum's like braided my hair nicely, but I've got these like sweaty sports day ringlets. And I'm just wearing white PE shorts. I've taken my top off and I've got frilly like little girl socks on. And I'm basically like parading around the living room, like reciting Colors of the Wind with like a lot of passion and a lot of hand gesture. I mean, I use my hands a lot when I talk even now, but even as a little girl, like it's a very serious face and a lot of marching and a lot of hand movements. But yeah, Pocahontas was on constantly when I was a little girl. And I used to get told all the time that I looked like Pocahontas, which I wasn't happy about because she wasn't my favorite princess. But yeah, I'm actually really pleasantly surprised that you got that right. I mean, it's the right age, right? So that came out, what, 95, and I was four. So it must have literally just come out. Amazing. And then, yeah, the one with I'm an adult, you're going to be cross at me, but you know, we're doing How Well Do We Know Each Other? And it wouldn't be me if I wasn't a little bit naughty. So this isn't a classic, but this is like a Disney-esque thing that I put on all the time on Disney Plus, and I feel like you probably do as well. So if Chris and I were at home and I was like, oh, I don't know what to put on, okay, fine, I'm just going to put this on. What is that thing?
Ooh.
And it's not Modern Family. That's number two.
A film?
It's not a film, but it's not a series. I guess it's a film.
I guess, I mean, I was going to say Illuminations.
you're thinking along the right lines. Like Illuminations isn't a film, but it's like film length. And I do put Illuminations on a lot, actually. I created like a weird sensory... Honestly, you should see what I get up to on my mat leave. I just was like stuck in the house. My son's had a cold this week and I'd run out of things to do. So I turned off all the lights in the snug and he's got this like sensory light that like lights up the room, and I put Illuminations on and was blasting out Disney music to create like a Disney sensory experience for him. But no, it's not Illuminations.
Oh, I really don't know. Have I watched it?
Definitely. I think it's probably your go-to thing as well.
I don't know. I've literally got no idea. So it's not a series, it's not a film.
It's more like a film. It's film length. It's a Illuminations, right? It's a film of the Illuminations. This is a film of something.
I actually have no idea.
When I tell you, you'll be like, for God's sake.
A film of something.
Yeah.
I'm really intrigued because I actually have absolutely no idea.
If I came over and I was like, I'll just put something on in the background, what would you put on?
Probably something like Illuminations.
Yes, something like Illuminations, but not Illuminations.
I don't know. Is there any of the other fireworks shows on Castle?
Not a fireworks show.
Parades?
It's not a parade.
I don't think I've watched this on Disney Plus, whatever it is.
You have. It's a show.
Oh, Encanto Live.
No, but you're really barking up the right tree now.
Okay, I watch Encanto Live quite a lot.
Encanto Live, or the music of Encanto, would not be a thing if it weren't for...
Hamilton!
Yes!
Of course
we watch Hamilton the whole time. My husband and I, it's like the only thing we can agree on, especially when it comes to musicals. So we, especially when my family come over, like even New Year's Day this year, it ended with Hamilton being on and my sister deciding to sing all the parts, like a one woman show. So yeah, we put Hamilton on all the time.
Yeah, I can't believe that I didn't think of that, because Hamilton, as you say, it is something that I will always just stick on in the background if I've got like an hour to kill, or like I'm waiting for something else to come, or I don't know, whatever, like I'm waiting to go to bed but it's too early. Hamilton, yeah, it's always on my TV.
Even like when I was postpartum, during kind of like my baby blues period, when I wasn't quite myself, my sister-in-law popped over and I was in a particularly bad place, and she like went and made me like a nice tea and got me a wet flannel for my head and just made me feel really relaxed, and she stuck Hamilton on, and it sent me into a beautiful deep sleep. So yeah, always Hamilton.
Perfect. There we go. Okay, so let's move away from Disney Plus and viewing. Let's talk a little bit about Disney trips and Disney parks in general. So my first question to you is, what do you think would be my dream dining experience?
Does it have to exist?
No.
No. Oh, God.
Okay, let's go. I just wanted to know what you... when you said that, I thought you had an idea in your head. Okay, let's say it has to exist.
Have you thought about what the answer is?
No.
Okay.
I mean, if you put your mind to it, it's probably quite obvious.
I mean, I think if it didn't have to exist, it would be like something really fantastical. Like, oh, I've got, if it doesn't have to exist, I think it would be Harryhausen's from Monsters, Inc.
I mean, that would be absolutely incredible.
With an animatronic, we've spoken about this before, an animatronic octopus cutting sushi.
Yeah.
Not an octopus, but a monster with eight legs. Yeah, that's what it would be if it's not, although you don't like sushi, but you know, the idea is there, a vegetarian sushi for you, tofu. I don't even know if you like tofu. Do you like tofu?
I'll have like the cucumber.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah, pumpkin curry, perfect.
Okay, that's my if it doesn't exist. If it does exist, I think going out on a bit of a whim, but I think Acca House, because Acca House in Epcot normally has Ariel and Eric, and I feel like that's very rare, and Ariel's your favourite princess, Eric's your favourite prince, and they're often joined by Rapunzel and Flynn's your second favourite prince. So I think Acca House in Epcot would be your dream dining experience.
I mean, yeah, I would absolutely love to do that. That would be, yeah, that would be incredible for me, and that is definitely something that I want to do one day. I think probably, if I had to say at the moment, you're probably going to be like, oh, for sake. But I think if I had to say at the moment, it probably is something that I am making happen, which is just a Disney dining experience with my family when we go in August. Like, that's something I've always wanted to do ever since we knew this trip was happening. I always said to my husband that I wanted to treat our family to a character dining experience. And we told them about it recently and they all got really, really excited and they're all super into the idea. So yeah, I think for me, it's less about the location and the characters per se, but more about the experience as a whole with kind of like my whole family there.
That's lovely. And I know you were a bit nervous about how it was going to go in terms of like your family and would they actually want to go to the dining and stuff. So I'm really, really pleased that they're on board. Amazing. I'm really, really lucky that I've done a lot of my dream Disney dining experiences. However, there are so many more that I haven't done that I really would love to do. So I feel like you can't really get this wrong because you'll either say something I've done that I would do again or something I haven't done that I really want to do. But I have got one that's like top of the list, but you definitely won't get it, I don't think.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, because I feel like with you, all the ones that you have really wanted to do, you have already done. What I would say is probably on your next trip to Disneyland Paris, I think you would love to take Teddy to Auberge to meet the princesses. So yeah, I'm going to say that.
Yeah, we haven't done a princess dine with Teddy yet, and I don't think we'll be able to afford to stay at the Disneyland Hotel again. So the obvious way for us to see princesses on the fly is a character dine. So yeah, or Auberge, or if they do open up the Disneyland Hotel restaurants, then even the Table de Lumiere, although it's very expensive. So yeah, definitely any character dining I'm down with. I don't particularly want to do dining with the Disney Junior characters, but if we're going with Teddy and he's really into Disney Junior, then I won't even cross that one off the list. So always open to character dining. But my number one, I mean, there's so many different. I want to do Topolino's Terrace in Florida, which I've never done. That's like at the Riviera Resort, and it's Minnie and Daisy, and they're in like Italian French Riviera outfits. Like, I'd love to do that. I'd love to do the Enchanted Storybook Dinner at the Wilderness Resort, which is Snow White and the Dwarves. There are so many. But my number one, you will never guess. And there's a reason that I haven't done this one. Because as you say, if I want to do a food thing, I do it. Food's like my favorite thing ever. The reason I haven't done this is because it is so eye-wateringly, disgustingly expensive that I cannot justify the cost. And I actually think I'll never do this because it's so expensive. But I really, really want to dine at Victoria and Albert's at the Grand Floridian. This is the like Michelin star restaurant at the Grand Floridian. And it's like, I don't even know how much it is. I think it's like $700 per person. I'm making that up. But it's basically like a tasting menu. It's a bit like Etch that we have in Brighton, but it's Disney. So it's even more like premium and exclusive and whatever. So I'm just on the like Victoria and Albert's website really quickly because I was like, I won't do a very good job of explaining this. But it, I mean, I can't even read this. It says an Epicurean, which I think means like really epic, an Epicurean odyssey awaits you. Come and experience the ultimate fine dining with just one seating each evening. So yeah, they only have one seating an evening. So like everyone comes at the same time and there's like a limited amount of tables. And it's got $4 signs on the Disney website in terms of cost. I'm just seeing if I can find it because I might have just made that like $700 figure up. And the price isn't on there.
It's expensive when they don't put the price on.
Right, especially for Disney. So yeah, they have two options. They have the chef's tasting menu, or they have like the wine version as well. But it says choose from two tasting menus, each designed to delight. Indulge your palate with course after course of exquisite culinary creation curated by our chef de cuisine. These inspired offerings are crafted with the freshest seasonal ingredients and artfully prepared using innovative techniques to ensure an unforgettable evening. It is literally the bougiest, most extra Disney experience one can have when it comes to dining. So obviously I want to do it, but I don't think I ever will. Maybe if like Grumpy takes me to Walt Disney World for like a 50th wedding anniversary or something like that, something really special. But even then, I don't think that that is really going to ever happen. So it's a bit of a pipe dream.
So this says, although subject to change, the price fix menu begins at $295 per guest. And there's an optional wine pairing starting at $155 per head. So yeah,
okay,
it is pricey.
Tax as well, because it's America.
Of course, yeah. It's not up my street. I'm not really into like these really fancy dining experiences. I've been to Etch in Brighton. And it was enjoyable, but it's not the sort of thing that I like get really pumped or like excited to do. I kind of like when I go for food, I like to have like a big plate. I'm not like a tasting menu sort of person. But having said that, it is at Disney, so I would be more intrigued to do this than say some fancy restaurant in London or something.
Oh yeah, for sure. I like all food, to be honest. I don't discriminate. My sister's annoyed with me at the moment because I referred to her as a chicken nugget and chips person. But what I meant by that was like, it's not about food. It's like an aesthetic, like a chicken nugget and chip person. I'm not going to describe what kind of person it is because I'll probably insult people, but I know what a chicken nugget and chip person is. And my sister is definitely a chicken nugget and chip person.
I think I'm somewhere between the two.
So I created a new, I created this, a group of us were trying to explain this. It's a bit like, do you ever have like Saturday and Sunday, like some things are Saturday, some things are Sunday, yeah. Is that kind of thing. So an elevated chicken nugget and chip person, which is my sister, is a steak and chip person.
Okay, right.
Maybe your steak and chips. We'll take this offline.
A vegetarian is a steak, who is a steak and chip, or a pescatarian who is a steak and chip person.
It's not about the food. You can still be a steak and chip person and not eat steak, you know. But anyway, my point is I'm an everything kind of a person when it comes to food. Anyway, we've gone off on a massive tangent. This isn't about my sister, it's about you and I.
It is indeed. Okay, cool. So there we go. We've learned about each other's dream dining experiences. What else do you want to know? What else do you think you know about me, Mercedes?
I reckon I could design your perfect trip.
Okay, perfect. Go for it. I want to, from start to finish.
Okay.
You can do just one day of the trip?
Yeah, I'll do a day. You're perfect.
Also talk about accommodation.
Okay, perfect. So your perfect trip, you wake up, oh, a big comedy yawn, birds tweeting outside, you sit up in bed, you're in the Grand Californian Hotel, room service knocks at the door. Oh yes, who is it? Come in. Breakfast is brought to you. It's really early, it's like 7 a.m. so you haven't missed rope drop or anything. Theo's up, awake, sprightly, happy for a full-on day of Disney. Even your husband is ready for rope drop. This is a very rare occasion, but it's happened. So you're all dressed, you've had your nice bougie breakfast at the Grand Californian, you walk out of your hotel room, the door next to you opens, it's your mum and dad. They come out as well, they're ready for the day. You walk down the corridor, get into the lift, go down, and then who should you bump into? Oh look, it's my sister, my nieces, and my brother-in-law. They're here as well. It's our perfect trip at the Grand Californian. You walk into the park and, oh, look, it's Mickey with no queue. Fantastic. You get a big family photo with Mickey and you didn't even have to wait for it. How good is that? Then you go over to the castle. Excuse me, miss, do you have photo pass? Yes, I do. Castle shot, family. What a great morning. Breakfast, Mickey, castle, happy days. You then decide it's time to split up. So you go off family by family. But your dad says, actually, Tash, I've got a surprise. Come with me. So you and your dad go off together, just the two of you. And who should you bump into? But Belle and Beast, very iconic. You had your father-daughter dance with Belle and to Beauty and the Beast. And you and your dad have a lovely conversation with Belle and the Beast about how you did this father-daughter dance, whatever. You catch back up with your family and you ask your husband, like, what have you done with Theo? Because I don't want to miss a moment. It's fine. They've been having ice cream. They haven't done anything very exciting. So you haven't missed anything, which is great. You all reconnect as a family. Your nieces have been off on the Dumbos. Again, you're not that bothered. You miss that. They've been doing what they want to do. You come together for a family ride on the original Pirates of the Caribbean, which originated, of course, in Disneyland. Big family ride. You've taken up pretty much the whole boat with your entourage and you ride it all together. Everyone loves it. It's fantastic. Then it's time for lunch. Where are you going? Let me have a think, because I'm not that familiar with Disneyland and I am making this up as I go along. We're just going to go to the Carnation Cafe because it's like the only place I can remember. And you're going to have a Matterhorn macaron because they are, or macaroon, in fact, because they are delicious, coconutty white chocolate. Mwah, chef's kiss. And a Monte Cristo sandwich because, you know, it's Disneyland. You've got to do it. Then it's time for the parade and you've got a premium access spot. You haven't paid for it. It came because you're a Grand Californian guest, and in this fantasy that comes with the perk of the hotel. So you go, you haven't had to wait for hours, you watch the parade. It's beautiful. There's Encanto characters are in the parade, Mirabelle's, your son gets to see him, Ariel's there too. Happy, happy, happy. You do some more rides, big hitters, Peter Pan, Alice, Matterhorn, your favorite, Haunted Mansion, few others. And then it's time for dinner. You've got a character dine at Goofy's Kitchen back in the other hotel. So you go back, Goofy, Mickey, Minnie, the whole entourage are there. Then it's time for fireworks, which you go up to the bar, I'm going to say, at one of the hotels. I'm making this up because I'm not that familiar with California, but I'm sure you can watch the fireworks from one of the bars. So you all watch it together as a family. And I feel like maybe some of this is a little bit of a reach, but hopefully a day like this can manifest when you go this summer.
I love this. I mean, I think you were pretty accurate. I'm trying to think of everything that you said there. But yeah, I mean, that does sound like a really lovely day. I would be very, very happy if that was my day. I think the only thing that I would maybe add to it would be maybe a little bit of downtime so I can like go and have a look at the shops on my own, maybe for like half an hour or so. Maybe grab a coffee and just sit and people watch. You know, I love to do that. And obviously I'm staying in the park till midnight because that is my favourite time to be in a Disney park, is dusk when it starts getting dark. But yeah, I think you did a pretty good job there.
Yeah, I missed out those two things and they're like your most favourite things. So I feel like I didn't do a good job. But
I mean, you did it very off the cuff. So
I did. I wasn't really thinking. I was just talking. I'm good at that, thinking and not engaging my brain.
I mean, when it comes to like dream Disney trips, it's a funny one because I have lots of dream Disney trips. So the one with my family is, of course, top of the list at the moment because it's happening. And I would also love to one day go to Walt Disney World with them all. And I'd love to go to Paris with them all. Like as the kids get older, like all of those things would be really, really lovely. But then I also would love to go on a trip with you one day to Paris with our children. And maybe we don't even take the dads. Maybe it is just a mums and sons, a mums and sons Disney trip. Perfect.
I would feel confident enough to drive us, I reckon.
Yeah. Two car seats in the back would be great.
I reckon we could do it. I actually do think that we could
make let's make this happen.
Definitely. I agree. I know what you mean, because like, for me, my dream Disney trip's always going to involve my son now. But I always say, like, the best day that I ever had at Disney was that day when I was in the Magic Kingdom on my own. It was the best day ever. But my dream Disney trip, obviously, I'd have to have my family involved. Yeah.
And I think if you compare, because obviously, you know, I haven't been to Disney with my family with my sister for nearly 20 years, which is insane, makes me feel really old. And then last time I went with like my parents was separately when they both came over to Shanghai, so I haven't been on like a family trip with them for ages and ages and ages. So part of like my dream, again, which is something I'd maybe add into that, is to have like time of the four of us, like our like original like Smith family unit, which would be really nice. But then I think going to a Disney park with friends, and especially friends that are really into Disney, is also you just can't compare it. Like when we went in January before the pandemic, like I just remember I honestly don't think I've ever laughed that much as I did on that trip, because it was just, we reverted to like our 13, 14 year old prattish selves. Like we're just silly the whole time. It was such a silly, fun trip. And I would love to do that sort of thing again. But yeah, like you say, I don't think I can ever go and not take my son now.
Yeah, it's a difficult one, isn't it? I feel like if I was going to go without him, now's the time, because he literally has no awareness. But as soon as he hits like 3 or 4 and he knows about Disney and he has an awareness of like mummy's gone to Disneyland, I would just feel like mortified. So no, I do know what you mean. I think it's interesting as well with your family. And obviously we'll talk about your trip lots and lots over the year. And as it kind of as it becomes closer is what I'm trying to say. But I definitely feel like my last two Disney trips were both in big groups. So I went on my hen, obviously 16 of us. And then my last trip was with my family. There was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of us. And 6 is not that many, but you know, it's a crowd. And it definitely is more difficult to navigate Disney parks in a big group, even if it is your family, even if it is your close friends. It does become quite complex. And I think one of the biggest issues that I had, definitely on my hem, but I think a little bit on my family as well, is everyone trying to be polite. And like no one, and I'm very bold and I'll be like, look, we're doing this, but you're never going to please everyone. But unfortunately, like on a Disney trip, you kind of want to please everyone because you don't want one person. Like, why are we going to go and watch this stupid show? I don't want to watch this. Or, oh, why do they want to go back to the hotel? We're going to miss this. Do you know what I mean? So I think that's the most difficult thing to navigate in like a big group setting. And yeah, we'll talk about your trip more as it comes closer. But that would be my advice, is like, be aware that even though you don't want to, you're going to have to compromise. And I find that really difficult with Disney trips, because I'm like, no, I know what I want to do. And it can be hard sometimes to, and I think we navigated it really well on my trip with my family, because there was very much an expectation of like, we don't have to do everything together. So my sister being like, we're going to go and ride this. And even though I really wanted to ride it, I knew that the right thing to do was go back to the hotel so my son could have a nap. Do you know what I mean? Whereas like, I guess I was compromising with myself there.
Yeah, definitely. And I think as well, like sometimes you can get so bogged down with, you know, like for you, that was your son's first Disney trip. So of course you want it to be perfect. And this trip for me is a once in a lifetime thing. So I want everyone to get the most that they can out of it. But I think it's just, yeah, it's something that I'm going to have to really work on, is remembering that we can't please everyone the whole time, and not everyone is going to get to do everything that they want to do. And there are going to be real life moments as well. There's going to be meltdowns. There's going to be tantrums. There's going to be things that don't fit into like my ideological idea of what the perfect Disney trip is. So I think that's something that I need to start preparing myself for.
Absolutely. And the thing is, like, you know, we spoke about this when we spoke about my Disneyland Paris trip. Like, my son went on 3 rides. I missed that parade that I wanted to see. I missed the drones, but it didn't matter. It was still a magical trip, because it wasn't about checking off items on a list. It was like the sentiment and the fact that we were all together experiencing his first trip, and just the fact that I was in a Disney park with him. So yeah, I'm sure you'll have the same. And I know it's difficult when it's America, because you're like, I don't know when I'm next going to come out here. Like Paris, it's like, we could go next year if we don't get everything done. I know it's different, but yeah, I'm sure you will be very, very happy whatever you do or do not get done.
Yes. So final one, just to finish, I'm going to put a spin on this one, and I'm going to describe your worst day at Disney.
Yes. Love this.
So you go into Disneyland Paris, you go there all the time, so it's nothing new for you. You're staying at Davy Crockett.
Oh, that's all right. See, Davy Crockett's fine, because I've not stayed there before. There is a hotel that would have been worse.
It always there.
Yeah, definitely.
Also, one of those like offsites, like the Nature Village, whatever.
Oh, the Centre Parks one.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, that would be the worst one. No, I was going to say, I don't want to stay at Santa Fe. I'm so done with
it. I was going to say Santa Fe originally, but then I thought, like, or Cheyenne, but yeah, no, I thought we'd go with David.
Santa Fe would be my worst, actually, but no, actually, yeah, you're right. Worse than that would be that Center Parcs one. But I've not stayed at Davy Crockett before, so I am intrigued, but
okay.
the drive would annoy me.
Okay, so you wake up, you've missed your alarm, your son's not really happy, he's still asleep, so you're all getting ready, you've missed rope drop, in fact, you've missed park opening, so by the time you get over, you have to drive, it's busy, you can't find a parking space, so by the time you get there, it's getting on now, it's quite late in the day, you've missed the first parade of the day, so you're not very happy, you were too late for breakfast, so you're all quite hungry, it's raining, you're cold, you're miserable, you're walking around trying to find some food because your son's really hungry.
I mean, this just sounds like Disneyland Paris in January, to be honest with you.
all that you can find is Casey's Corner, so you get in the queue there, it's really busy. You order some like lukewarm soggy fries and a frankfurter, and it's all poor quality food, so you're not very happy with that whole and then you think, okay, like, let's at least get on some rides, what should we go on? And your husband really wants to go on your son really wants to go on Small World, so you trudge over there, it's got an hour wait, so you end up waiting for ages. Meanwhile, your son's a bit older now, so he's singing the theme song the whole time that you're in the queue. You've got a family behind you, keep pushing into you, and then you've got someone grumpy in front of you who really doesn't want to be there either. You go on Small World, there's a problem, so it kind of comes to a standstill for about 15 minutes, so you're just sat there listening to that song on a loop. Oh, by the time you come off, you've missed the start of the second parade. You can't get a spot where you want to because of that stupid system where you now have to reserve a spot. So you end up seeing it, I don't know, somewhere a bit rubbish, can't really see much. It's raining, so it's a shortened version of the parade.
Oh, well, there we go.
As well. And then after that, you think, right, let's go and get some lunch, you walk around for ages, nothing's open, so the only thing that you can find is the Hakuna Matata cafe.
Oh, God, no.
You end up having the Hakuna Matata salad.
Tash, that's not what would happen, because I just wouldn't have lunch. The only thing that was on offer.
Fair enough. No, I don't think I would either. You're walking around, it's still raining, you're thinking what else to do. Your son wants to go and play in that little Pirates of the Caribbean play area bit, so you do that for a bit. He trips over, he doesn't really hurt himself, but he's not very happy, and then you have to go and soothe him, and that takes a while to calm him down. And
I like that your ethical side hasn't injured my child. Thank you for that.
Well, I couldn't be that mean. And then he wants to go through the little walkway, the Agrabah walkway thingy, whatever it is. So you go through there. He then decides that he wants to go and learn a bit about history and stuff. So you go to the little undercover bits, what they're called, that run adjacent to Main Street.
The arcade and the
arcade, that's the arcade. It. You go and have a wander through there. It's then time to do some rides. You get on Dumbo, but after waiting for about 45 minutes, and you get on Peter Pan after waiting for an hour and a half. You then decide that you're going to go and treat yourself. You're going to go on to, what are you going to go on? Oh, you're with your family, so you do a baby swap, and you and your husband are going to go on to Space Mountain, and you're really happy about this because this is the one ride you've wanted to do all day. And then just as you get to the front, it breaks down, and you've wasted an hour just queuing. And then by this time, it's evening, you're wet, you're miserable. You go to watch the drone show. Before you know it, madame and messieurs, the drones are cancelled. And then you have fireworks, but you've got about a million phones and tablets in front of your face.
Oh, yeah.
You can't really see.
Yeah.
And then you get stuck coming out in the hordes and hordes of people.
I mean, I would like to think that that would be anyone's worst Disney day. But yeah, I mean, I'd probably never go back to a Disney park again. And what's really sad, actually, like joking aside, is I feel like a lot of people do experience days like that because they don't plan.
Yes, like, it's not uncommon what I just described.
No, like if you watch, like, do you remember that woman on TikTok that was like, never go to Disneyland Paris because I've just been, and she rocked up at like 12 p.m. and then all the rides had 1 hour queues and it was wet. And I'm like, yeah, because you didn't plan. So yeah, that could never be me. I would never allow that to happen. But if it did, yeah, that would be, I mean, that wasn't rocket science, Tash. I hate all of those things. I think most people do, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think that would be a pretty bad trip for anyone.
Yeah, there we go. Or maybe we're very, I don't know, privileged. Maybe some people are like, hey, you're at Disneyland, it's a good day.
Maybe. So yeah, there we have it. I would say in summary, we know each other pretty well. But as always, do get in touch and let us know, you know, if you have any suggestions, if you have any further questions that you want us to quiz us on, if there's anything you thought we missed out, let us know what your worst or best day at Disney would be. As always, you can find us on Instagram at Chat Disney.
Or we're on Twitter at Chat Disney UK. And we have got something very exciting to share with you all. Tash and I are thinking about bringing you some video content. So what this would be the Chat Disney podcast, the normal episodes that you get every Monday morning. But instead of just listening to the podcast on your podcast app of choice, you would also get video content. So it would be me and Tash recording the podcast. So you'd actually get to see me using those animated hands as I talk and Tash's facial expressions as I say rude comments that I probably shouldn't make about chicken nugget and chips peoples. So anyway, if this is something that you would like, there would be a small monthly cost. And we're just curious to know, I guess, if that is something that you would find interesting. Maybe there's something else that you would prefer. You can get in touch with us on the social media handles that we just shared. Or if you do listen to the Spotify app, on the Spotify app, I should say, you can just scroll down and there's a little like Q&A field where you can let us know whatever you want to let us know. But yes, this is something we are potentially thinking about bringing to you. So we're just curious, I guess, to know if it's something you would like to see in the future.
Absolutely. Lucky, lucky you. You don't get to potentially just hear us. You can see us too. And that pretty much sums up everything we are going to be talking about today. As always, we will be back at the same time and same place next week. Bye for now.
See you then.
Thank you. Goodbye now. Goodbye. Goodbye. Thank you. Goodbye.